It is a thrill to be here tonight. I really mean that. It's obviously, well, I'm usually here, but you don't see me. I'm running around, or you see me at the beginning of the ending. I'm so thankful for the Kids for Truth staff that does such a faithful job. They're so much fun to work with, and I saw the kids already tonight. They're working hard. They're memorizing verses, and I know they're going to have a great time tonight. Well, so are we here in a big boy church, big girl church, right? We came to learn about the Word of God. We came to meet, to greet together. I try to set up my PowerPoint to where you're going to be able to see, hopefully, over. And if you can't, and if you feel like you missed something, let me know, and I would love to give you guys notes if at any time you need that. Well, I thought I'd show you guys a little bit of a PowerPoint of a road trip. Where's Brother John? Where's Brother John Having? I saw him. There he is, Brother John, my man. John's a blessing. All of you are a blessing to me. I mean that. There's so many dear relationships in this room, but John's special. And John and I, well, we went on a pretty cool trip. You know, we went out west. When we went out west, Brother John, I hope you remember this, brother. He's shaking his head. That's not good. When we went out west, Brother John, there was a couple things we noticed. You can't see my pointer, but it's okay. We went to the Grand Canyon, which is awesome. The Grand Canyon's so beautiful. We get out of the car, you know, after hours of driving. We took a car instead of a plane. That's just the best we could do. But traveling out west, when Brother John and I got out of the car, I'm like, Brother John, look at the Grand Canyon. And he's over here looking just at his phone. He's playing Mario, man. I didn't even know you had a phone that did that, Brother John. That's awesome. I said, Brother John, what's wrong with you? Why are you... We're at the Grand Canyon. Why are you staring at your phone? What are you doing? He just kind of shrugged and said, I don't know. I'd rather do this. Okay. Well, all right, Brother John. It's up to you. Poor John didn't know he was a sermon illustration tonight. He'll get me back. And then we traveled to good friends that I have in Iowa. So we're traveling back across the country. And I mean, look at this. It's a full Thanksgiving spread. We got the turkey. We got pecan pie. We got the cranberry dish. What is that? Like, I don't know, sweet corn or maybe sweet potatoes. And Brother John just brings out, I should have had a picture of donuts because we know that's what he really would have had, right? Yeah, those of you that are laughing know that's true. But Brother John gets a little bag of candy. He eats 4 or 5 pieces of candy and he says, I'm done. I'm good. I've eaten everything I need. Brother John, what? What are you doing, man? You got to eat this. You got to try this turkey. You got to try this relish, this dressing. Try it. He wouldn't. It's okay. We're still having a great time. We go to the East Coast. We're finally at the beautiful, I believe we went to Clearwater is actually where we went. It's gorgeous beach. Look at this. Calm. Just beautiful Gulf side. So it's not really crazy like the Atlantic. It's just beautiful. And now this isn't John. It's a little younger than John. But John started seeing this guy playing in a puddle, and he's staying in the parking lot playing with a puddle as I'm getting all my beach gear ready to hit the beach. Brother John, why are you hanging out with this little kid in a puddle when we could be swimming in the ocean? You know, silly illustrations, I know. But yet, some of you are like, where are you going with this? That's exactly what we do as Christians. No, really? You disagree. Maybe you want to know the connection. Let me give you the word we're going to talk about tonight. It's not going to be an exact analysis of this word, but we're going to see what Christians are. We are satisfied. What are the negative ways that we are satisfied in our life that are unscriptural? And then how does God want us to be satisfied? Let's pray and ask him for help. Lord, I need your help tonight. This is not about me. This is not about me filling a pulpit or speaking a certain amount of time or being somebody that I'm not, or trying to be like Pastor Shepherd or Pastor Dan or Pastor Brent. It's about none of the pastors tonight. It's not about anything other than your word being preached, God. Your word is alive. It is a two-edged sword. It is powerful. It can cut to the quick. It can cut between all of our inconsistencies, all of our sins, all of our weaknesses. God, I pray you do a mighty work tonight, not because of Ben Mancroning, not even because of Cross Point Baptist Church, but because you have something for us tonight, Lord. You love us. You love us in spite of ourselves. You poured your blood across the banner of each and every life in this room right now, Lord. If there's anyone unsaved, let me share the truth of the gospel clearly enough tonight so they can react to that. If there's somebody unsaved in here that doesn't understand how they can restore their walk with you, maybe they're discouraged, maybe they're broken, God, prick their heart, prick my heart. May I be led of the Spirit, listening to know what to say, what not to say. God, mightily use this time. I am so honored to be here and so excited to preach this message on the satisfied saint. Lord, would you help me to do it justice and not make it about me. May all the glory, all the honor and praise go to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The satisfied saint. So shall we dive in? Let's see what this is all about. What is satisfaction? Well, before I even get into the definition up there on the screen, satisfaction is something our culture has a lot about, right? Have you ever taken those surveys at the end of those calls for, I don't know, maybe it's something with your water bill, your sewage bill. Please stay on the line for a quick five-second survey, and it's really about 10 to 15 minutes, and you're like, I'm done. Please let me stop pressing buttons. What do they say near the end of that? Are you fully satisfied with everything that has been given to you? You know, press 1 for no, 5 for okay, and 10 for yes, or 9 for yes. That's often the world wants to know about satisfaction, right? What do they say at the end of those really annoying 3-minute infomercials that you're flipping through as you're watching your mystery on TV, right? They say, satisfaction what? Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, right? So we live in a culture that if our money can buy it, Brother Nathan, then we can get enough satisfaction, right? We can get satisfaction out of a product. We can get enough contentment out of that product. Also, are not commercials all about not having satisfaction? You're not going to be refreshed unless you buy a Coca-Cola. You're not going to feel luxury unless you're in a Buick. You're not this or that until you reach this certain point and buy something or have an experience or go to the Grand Canyon with Brother John Habing. Okay, you know, you got to do certain things to have satisfaction in your life. Well, satisfaction literally means to be pleased or content with what's been experienced or received. Pleased or content with what's been experienced or received. So it can carry a couple different distinctions. Tonight we're going to look at the distinction of either being completely fulfilled in a positive context, or it can also mean being apathetically content in a negative context. Can I say that again? So we're going to talk about the apathetically content part first, and then we're going to dive into the complete fulfillment. You might say, Brother Ben, is the word satisfied even in the Word of God? According to most online sources that I accounted for, the King James Version or most Bible versions bring it in between about 47 to 54 times that the word for satisfaction or satisfied or the Greek or Hebrew word where we get satisfaction from was originally intended to be in the Bible. So that's if the Word of God has a word in God's word 50 or so times, do you think it's important? Do you think there's some edification to it? Yes. Yes, there is. Every word of God is powerful. It's all for our, what does the Bible say? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Couple quotes that talk about satisfaction. John Calvin said, whoever is not satisfied with Christ alone strives after something beyond absolute perfection. So think about that tonight. Are you and I finding satisfaction in something other than Christ? We're trying to go beyond perfection. Think logically, is that possible? It's not. Moving on. What about Jonathan Edwards? Oh, scholar of scholars. If you do research on him, he was the scholar of the Great Awakening. Amazing man. He said, the enjoyment of God is the only true happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Is your enjoyment in God? And I don't want to preempt some of my points. We're going to get to all of this stuff. But is our enjoyment in God, are we satisfied after Christ alone? Calvin, Edwards, and other biblicists throughout the ages have said satisfaction in Christ is an important doctrine. It's something that needs to be explored. What is fleshly satisfaction? So first we're going to talk about, this is something all humanity has. What do I mean by that? By that I mean, if you're a human being, you want fleshly satisfaction. You want to go home tonight to a warm bed, right? Right? In the morning, you want your coffee either hot or cold. How many of you like black coffee? Be honest. Okay, cool. How many of you like 5 or 10 creams and sugars? Like, it's loaded. It's so doctored up, it's not even coffee. Cool, yeah. I got the iced coffee mix at the store this week. I got a brand I don't normally get. It's like white. There's so much like creamer and sugar in that. I'm like, is this really even coffee? I'm looking at the ingredients list. Okay. But I get happiness in caffeine. You probably didn't know that. Right? We all get happiness in different ways and different things. Some of you get happiness by going shopping, ladies. Maybe some of you gentlemen. Turning on the TV, relaxing. Where we get fleshly satisfaction in different ways. So I try to keep it really a bare bone structure here so we can really get the content. If you take notes or even take pictures of this, just grab quick screenshots so we can apply this to our life. Are we seeking satisfaction in prestige? Look at James 4:10. We're going to do, this is not expositional. We are taking this topic and we're going to bounce all around scripture and we're just going to kind of exegete it from the different scriptures along the way. Seeking satisfaction in prestige. What does this mean? This would be, James 4:10 takes us there. This means getting satisfaction from recognition, from position, from pride of family. Do we get satisfaction because our last name is said in church more than other families? Do we get satisfaction because, well, I'm so glad Pastor Dan or Pastor Brent or Pastor Shepherd finally mentioned my name after being in this ministry for the last 5 years. He finally said it. It's about time. We're finding our satisfaction in a wrong source. James 4:10 says this. It's so well known. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I do none of the lifting. If I'm doing the heavy lifting, not only in burdens of my life, but in terms of lifting myself up, I'll never be lifted up. And it's not about lifting me up. I am to be spent for Christ. It is my, we learn from, and we're going to see this passage come in. What did Brother Blake teach us on Sunday night? It's my reasonable service. That's not, you know, we think our service for God sometimes is just so amazing, isn't it? When Jesus Christ spilled his blood for a wretch like me, it's all I can do to just serve him. And that's not that impressive. It's my reasonable service. It's what I owe my God. Not something that, oh God, look at my service. No. It's what I owe my master, my savior, my king, who spilled his blood, perfect blood, for a wretch like me. May we not forget that no matter what your last name is, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've served. All right, so James 4:10, we've covered that. Let's move on to Matthew 6:20. How about seeking satisfaction, oops, in possessions? We're not done with this one yet. Matthew 6 and verse 20, Jesus speaking here. He says, Matthew 6, verse 20, Jesus says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in to steal. The idea here is our treasure's got to be in heaven because our possessions aren't going to help us out. Matthew 6, 20 says that. Guys, hey, a lot of you know I love Hot Wheels. I got my 3,000th toy car the other day. Awesome. Big whoop. Awesome. Great. If that's where my treasure is, that's pretty sad. I love my wife, and I should. My treasure shouldn't ultimately be in her. I can find a certain amount of satisfaction. That's biblical, to find satisfaction in a marriage relationship. My satisfaction, though, can't be in possessions. It can't be in my fusion. It can't be in different things that I own and different things I pursue in collections and all of these things. No, that's vain. That's empty. And yet, how many times do we bow at this altar? What is there a possession in your life that you've just been striving for and striving for and striving for? Maybe God's closed the door. Well, why is God closing that door? Maybe because we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't understand how spoiled we are. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. When kids are complaining in the classroom about this or that, I'm not afraid to go there and just say, hey, you're complaining about this and that. There's an eighth grader your age right now in another country that's wondering, these 50 grains of rice that are left in my house, how many am I going to get to eat tonight? Yeah. And you and I are concerned about going here, shopping and getting this. We are wretchedly selfish. I'm reminded by that sometimes by my own family. I'm reminded by that by hopefully the Holy Spirit pricking my heart saying, Ben, wake up. Look how selfish you are. Do we seek satisfaction in power? For some people, it's all about the ego trip. It's all about where I can go. It's all about who I can control. It's all about workplace power. Parents can go on power trips. Teachers, yep, we can go on power trips. How about this? Guys, girls, there's nothing wrong with using your body. Sports is a wonderful thing. But if one of the reasons that you pursue sports, or maybe your young person in your family, your son, your daughter, pursue sports is just so they can get that physical aggression of, look at me, I dominated you. Now, there's a point in great physical activity, but if that's what we get our satisfaction in, there's something wrong with that. You know, Brother Ryan, it was awesome. I was talking to Austin just the other day about different memories from the past couple years. It was really cool. And I appreciated this about Austin's perspective. It was very mature. Austin said to me, you know, I said, Austin, what did it feel like? This was last year for the first soccer championship, right? I mean, how long have we been striving to see a soccer championship? And I'm talking to a couple parents, several parents in here that you guys are faithful. Every game, rain, snow, sleet, or hail, whatever's happening in the soccer season, you're there. You know, so cool to hear Austin's testimony. He said, he said, you know, Mr. Mann, I loved it. It was amazing. It was awesome. I put everything into it. And believe me, it'll be something I never forget. He goes, it didn't satisfy. It's literally the words he said. This was about 6 months ago. He told me the story. And I'm just like, wow, awesome. And all I could think of, like, I was so excited to hear he had the maturity to see that. It lifted my heart. It was wonderful to see that. He's right. It's not going to satisfy. I hope this play is amazing the next couple days. It's not going to satisfy. I hope we win Bible Quizzing State Championship next week. Pray for us. Bible quizzers are working hard. That's not going to satisfy me or those kids. It's not about power. It's not about what we can accomplish, even for God sometimes, okay? Look with me at seeking satisfaction in pleasure. Proverbs 17:21 talks about basically pleasure is what the fool runs to. I won't turn there. I will jump to Ecclesiastes 2:1. Many of you that are students and scholars of the Bible, what is the word that Ecclesiastes is famous for? Can you shout it out? Vanity. You think vanity's in this verse? I bet it is. Solomon, Ecclesiastes 2:1 said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy, here's the word, pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. It's vanity. It's vanity. The idea for vanity is like a puff of air. It's like, pah, and then gone, right? It's a vapor, lasts for a moment. It's here, and then it's gone. It feels good for that second, and then there's nothing left. This is fleshly satisfaction. Okay, so now that we see what the world's satisfaction looks like, I want to go into believer satisfaction. But we're going to stay a little while on this one. Some of you may be looking at this title and thinking, Brother Ben, did you really mean to say that? Yeah, I did. This is flesh-led, flesh-derived believers' satisfaction or apathetic complacency. Being perfectly honest with you, being vulnerable with you right now. It's been so amazing to see what God is doing. I've been here at Cross Point for 8 years. Awesome to see what God is doing in this church. It is awesome to see the work that God has been doing, not just in the last few months, but really during that whole 8-year span. In that 8-year span, I've been able to see highs. I've been able to see lows. I've been able to see things that I thought would be a great success that was, and things maybe just kind of not work out. It's amazing the complacency I see in some of my fellow church members and some of us and others. Some of us are driven people that are over the top, get it, go get it, and just smash it, crash it, get it done. Other people are quiet. You're just quiet servants. You just consistently serve. But it hurts, speaking honestly as a young person, it hurts my heart when I see so many people that, yes, are faithful here at Cross Point, but there's apathy. And there's such complacency in filling a pew, filling a chair, and yes, you give. Yes, there's tithes. Yes, there's a level of service. But there's so much more that God has for us. I really believe that. There's so much more. I know Pastor Shepherd keeps saying it. We're this close to seeing God just crack open an incredible era of growth. And I believe Satan is controlling in our lives several key things. Maybe it's sin that needs to be dealt with. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's, again, it's complacency. It's ruts that we're in. It's relationships that are poisonous that we're letting tear us back. It's old sins that Satan pops up as like those dumb pop-ups. You keep clicking out of them in the website. They keep popping up. Satan is the master of that. And that feeds our apathy. The more that we're in sin, what does the Bible say? If we are in sin, that God cannot hear us. He cannot hear the prayers of his saints if we're apathetic and complacent. How do we need to be, what do we need to be working on in our satisfaction from a fleshly level? Here's some of the issues we have. And I'm not just saying Cross Point. I'm saying that because I know our church. I'm in the church. I'm in the yoke with you guys. I'm serving with y'all. I am not perfect. You know that by far. I'm very young. I have so many things to learn, and I readily admit that in front of you. But I see these things, and I'm burdened. And there's times that Kristen and I are almost in tears coming before God saying, God, we have weaknesses. Help us in our weaknesses. How can you help our church? We're so close to gaining victory in these areas. We're so close to seeing forward momentum. God, what will it take? What will it take for some of us to wake up and be the bride and the body of Christ that we're called to be? Okay, it takes service. So let's look at Romans. Romans 12, verses 6 and 7 says this. It takes service. I'm diving there right now. Here we go. Romans 12, verses 6 and 7 says this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, look at this. We all have a different gift. Mrs. Piper has a different gift than Deb does. Than Pastor Chris does, than Nate Query does, than Tim Lingle does. All different gifts. Let's keep going. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. And it goes on and on. Exhortation, it goes through all the different spiritual gifts. Here's the point. Are we satisfied with same old service? If you've never served in this church outside of coming and giving of your tithes, you're not fulfilling, if I can say this carefully, the full call of God on your life. If you have physical needs, that's fine. Okay, then there are some elderly people here. It's all my. We were, Pastor Defoe, we're thinking of a sister in Christ that we're praying for that hasn't been able to come to church for a few weeks. I hope she's watching on live stream. We care for her. We miss her. So everybody's got different needs. I know that. But if you're physically able to come and you're physically able to get in here, then serve. Get in ministry. We need you in Kids for Truth. We need you in Sunday school. We need you singing if you have a gift. We need you preaching if God's given you that gift or that talent. We need us getting busy. Jesus can come back any moment. If he comes back now, are we going to be asleep at the wheel or are we serving him? Are we going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? When we're at the judgment seat of Christ and we give all of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our service to the Lord, what's the wood, hay, and stubble? And that's based on our attitude, isn't it, Grandma Mater? It's based on our attitude. We've got to have the right attitude of why we're serving. We got to make sure we're really serving and not just doing it because this person sees me. This person sees me. I'm checking off a box. I'm doing what I need to do. No, we should serve because going back to last Sunday, it's our reasonable service. This is our reasonable service. It's what we owe God for dying on the cross and buying our salvation. What about sacrifice? Service takes sacrifice. Are we satisfied with our sacrifice? This would be not just time and money, but how about this? What about our desires? Wow. Husbands, do we have to sacrifice our desires for kids and for our wife sometimes? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Moms, you're amazing at that. That's what makes moms such superheroes, which we get to celebrate on Sunday, is that comes somewhat naturally for you. You do an amazing job of sacrificing your flesh to love your kids. It's something I love about my mom. So thankful for her. But do we do it in the church? Are we willing to sacrifice time for service, for diving in, for being aggressively in the yoke of ministry? We have to be. Are we satisfied? Again, I have Romans 12, 1 for that. That's the verse that Pastor Blake preached on, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, serving God, that's our reasonable service because of the price he paid for us. How about this one? Are we satisfied with other saints? Now, yeah, I'm keeping the S theme, alliteration. Here we go, homiletics. But what I mean by that, are we satisfied in relationships? Are we satisfied in relationships? Oh, man, Sunday school. Those of you that are in our Sunday school class in Couple Serving Christ, you know how much I've been loving this book. It's been so good. Caring for others. Sunday school plug. Make sure you're at Sunday school. Get in a great group. I know Brother Harvey's learning a lot. I'd love to talk to him more about it. It's man, every Sunday school group is loving this book that I know of. We have to be involved in other people's lives. I can't help Brother Rodney until I have a relationship with him. There's no way I can know his burdens, Pastor Chris, until I start talking to him. If I don't know Justin, I just start asking him all these pointed questions, he's not going to open up. I can only do that to Justin because by God's grace, he's grown us, brother, and I love that relationship we have. I can't bless Brother Moore. I can't bless Billy. I can't talk to these people until there's a relationship. So guess what? Again, just like all of these, what are the common themes of these? These take time. These all take planning. These all take sacrifice. I know this is one of the main points, but even service takes sacrifice. Saints and having friendships with them take sacrifice. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 gives a great light on this. Let me go ahead and read that if you don't mind. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 says this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Here it is, forbearing one another with love. That forbearing means, you know what? Man, my wife and I have talked a lot about this lately. When did we think in the church that we have to agree with somebody 100% in order to be friends with them? You know what Pastor Arrowood would call that? Stinking thinking. It's so true. That's a fleshly thought. I don't have to agree with Heather Harvey and everything for her to be my sister, for us to love each other. I don't have to know everything Bryce is thinking in order for him to be my brother and us to hang out and have an honest conversation. That's Christianity, folks. It's okay. We don't have to understand each other perfectly. We just need to be real with each other, vulnerable with each other, loving with each other. God help us. Because we miss that mark so much. We're lost in our box. We're lost in just what we want to get accomplished, what we feel like is important. Help us, Lord, because we miss it so often. Let's look at the next part. I think we're satisfied with the Spirit. It is refreshing. It is a blessing to see how much Pastor Shepherd is consistently, in my opinion, and I'm not the Holy Spirit, but this is how I see it. He is not ashamed to steer his message sometimes as he's in the middle of a point and just hang a left. And go, am I right? And he'll go down this path, and he'll go, and he'll go, and he'll go. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's leading him to. Praise God for that. May we never be just, sometimes Baptist churches struggle with this. We are unashamed to be a Baptist church, and rightly so. We should be Baptist in doctrine. We should be biblical in doctrine. That's really what Baptist is. It's biblical. But may we never get so lost in formality and so much in just, we do it this way every time, we do it this way every time. We need to be shaken up. We need different things. We need a different type of song service sometimes. That doesn't mean wrong songs. It just means maybe a different format, maybe different people singing. That's why the small groups over the last 6 months or so has been refreshing, because it's different. And it's refreshing sometimes when pastor will switch things up and sing in the middle. Or isn't it awesome when he'll just bring somebody up? And just all of a sudden he'll say, you know, son, come up here. Or he'll call on somebody, or he'll have people start standing. Isn't that neat? That's Spirit-led. What does it look like, though, in our real life? It means when Jaden, my neighbor that's unsaved and has two lesbian moms, he's my neighbor. It means when he talks to me and I laugh at, he's a junior at Avon, okay? And I laugh at his little sister's Stitch backpack he's wearing. It means I shouldn't just laugh at his little sister's Stitch backpack. I need to go a little deeper. I need to care. And when the Holy Spirit prompts my heart, Brother Nitschke, I need to do something about it. Okay, so what if I've got, 12 minutes to get to school? I got to get to school. Yeah. But what if that's my last chance to see Jaden? What if something happens to him on the way to school? Spirit-led means if I feel that prompt, Mrs. Titus, I got to do something about it. What about sanctification? We so often are satisfied. Well, what's sanctification? That's becoming more like Christ, right? That's becoming renewed in the Lord. And I'm going to call it this way, victory over sin, right? Just so, Bible Doctrine 101. Justification, right, Brother Chilson, is a one-time act of salvation. As soon as we're saved, we get all the Holy Spirit in our life, amen? And we are justified under Christ. The blood is applied. We are 100% justified. But sanctification is a process. It's kind of what Brother Schrock, remember the two closets? Which one was this? Let me see. This was old closet? I think it was. Taking off the old garment, spotted by the flesh, putting on the new garment, that's part of sanctification. It's the renewing of our mind. It's the transforming of our mind unto Christ. Be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? This is victory over sin. Hey, how you doing on that? In the Caring for Others series, also in Sunday school, we've been talking about how are you doing in your conversations, talking to others about sanctification. When you talk to your teenager or your teenager's friends, do you have real talks about their life, about choices they make? Whether they're a student here at Cross Point, maybe Avon, or somewhere else? Do you have those kinds of conversations? Again, we have to spend enough time and be vulnerable enough with people in order to build others up in this way, right? In order to say, hey, I'm willing to talk about sanctification, because otherwise it's weird, right? If I'm not honest with you, if I don't talk with my Grandpa Fitzgerald all the time, with Brother Dennis, if I don't talk to you about how our spiritual walk's going, then it's not going to flow, is it? It has to be a practice, Grandpa. It has to be something we do all the time. Would God build those habits in our life? Amen? And that's what 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4 goes for. Let's look at the next one at Galatians 2:20. Now, after all of this, can we review this? Let's look at these. Are we satisfied with our service for God? Are we satisfied with our sacrifice for God? Are we satisfied with relationships that are subpar with fellow saints? Are we satisfied with our Holy Spirit-led life? Are we satisfied with sanctification that really just is, I'm kind of becoming more like God, I guess. And then finally, are we satisfied with surrender? You know, I almost put surrender first, Pastor Chris, because it's either first or last. Are we satisfied with our surrender for God? I challenged my students to think of this. Just a moment. I challenged my students with this today. You know, we're all going to surrender. I want you to think of some person you just can't stand. Maybe in pop culture, maybe in world government, maybe a figure of the past or of the present. Do you have a name in your head? Okay, I've got one. I've got several. Have that name in your head, and then I'm going to apply scripture to it, right? What does the Bible say? Every single person under the face of the planet that's ever been created, that's ever breathed air, from a baby that was sadly aborted to the oldest man that has ever lived, right? Methuselah. They're all going to do what? They're all going to bow the knee. Every knee will bow. And then what's the second part? Every tongue will confess. What? Say it. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. From the Kremlin in Russia from 20, 30, 40 years ago. From the leader there, Putin himself, to our president, to the most wicked Hollywood or perverted pop star you can imagine, to me. I told my eighth graders, I want to surrender now. I don't want to waste a year of my life. I'm just a kid, I know, but it scares me sometimes when I see how fast life goes. It scares me, Grandpa. I'm almost 33 years old. I know, I'm a baby to most of you. I get that. But it's flying. And if I'm not surrendered, if I'm allowing sin in my life to take reign and do with it what the devil wants to do, which the devil wants to take me down, if he can take me down, I've lost my testimony with all these kids. I've lost my testimony with you. And let me tell you something. That's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what God wants to prevent in not just my life, but in yours. Hey, if you fell away from grace, how many people would you drag down with you? How many? Think about it. Think about it. Because that's Satan's desire. Praise God that we have a pastor that makes our kids stand up and say, guess what? Satan hates you. Satan hates you, Aaron Wagner. Satan hates you, dear Yiter kids. Satan hates you. Name. We need that kind of preaching. And boy, we need that kind of parenting. I'm not a parent, but I'm in the trenches every day. Your kids are hurting. Your kids need love. And they are getting it from you. I'm not judging you saying you're not giving it. I have no place to judge. But you got to listen to me. You got to hear me. Your kids need to also surrender, and they can't surrender without surrendered parents, so surrender with them. Next time pastor says, me and my family are up here, are you going to pray? Will you move? I beg of you to. I not to move for moving's sake, because that's not the point, Pastor Defoe, but move because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in your heart, and he is motivating you, and he's convicting you, and he's saying, deal with this sin, talk to this person, make this relationship right, do what you need to do to be the man or the woman God has called you to be. And then when you do, it's such a rejoicing time. It's such a blessing. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and it's not just the burden of not being saved, it's the burden of a Christian that is satisfied in his or her flesh, satisfied in ways that we should never be satisfied. Why has Satan gotten so many wins here in America in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years? It's because we've been a satisfied church. God help us. I am not the Holy Spirit. I don't have the answers, but I know the God who does. and I know the book I can run to. Are you running to that God? Are you deep into the book? Am I? That's the question. Lord, help us. Galatians 2, verse 20 does say these words. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, oh, man, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not me living, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He didn't just love me. He gave himself for me. What kind of love is this that a man would lay down his life for his friends? We are the friends of God. And Pastor Brent, you're right on Sunday morning. We have a flippant view in our culture of God. But yet he still calls us friend. And yet he's Abba Father, as we're reminded often on Sunday mornings. And yet he's Jehovah God. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. Think of the names of God. Think of how much we deserve. None of that. We should surrender and say, my life is yours, God. I don't care where you put me. I don't care where you send my kids. Would you use me? Would you empty me of myself in my rotten, stinking flesh? I need your help to remove me out of the way. Dear God, help us. And then finally, let's get to the good stuff, shall we? Let's turn the dime. God doesn't just want us wallowing in all of that. Yes, that was the meat of the message. But now let's look at some of the better applications. Where is complete biblical fulfillment? Where is the Spirit-led surrender of satisfaction? So this is Spirit-led believer satisfaction. We can get excited about this. Would you open up to Philippians 4:11 with me? Go ahead and turn to Philippians 4:11. Okay? Yes, it says this. Paul speaking again. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, here it is, therewith to be content. Are you satisfied in your placement? Are you satisfied in your placement? I'm looking at so many different ministries and lives in front of my eyes. And again, Josh, I'm not God. I can't judge. But I know enough to know this. Some of you are finishing a time at Crosspoint. Some of you are in your middle of your time here at Crosspoint. Some of you are near the beginning. I don't know. You don't know. We're not God. But not just at Crosspoint, in your family. Are you okay with where God has placed you? Maybe it's the job you have. Are you okay in that placement? Are you all right where God's placed you? If God's placed you there, you think he's going to give you the strength to carry you through? Do you think he's going to love you and motivate you and encourage you and lift you up even when you don't have that strength anymore to move on? And you're sick of dealing with this kid, with that person, with this restraint. Man, we have a God that can overcome that, don't we? We have a God who's bigger and greater and more encouraging and so far beyond that. His omniscience, his omnipotence, his love covers all of that. Are we okay in our placement? Are you okay that you don't have teenagers yet? Are you okay that you don't have a little one anymore? Are you okay that God is working through a really tough situation with you and maybe an estranged son or daughter? Are you okay with the fact that maybe you do feel like people at church have hurt you in the last few years and you just don't know what to do about it? You don't know how to make that relationship right. There's so many areas of placement where God might have us in a certain place at a certain season, and we have to be okay with that. We have to trust his will, trust his plan. Now, again, if something needs to be done to restore a relationship or repent from sin or grow in an area, then that's on us, am I right? We are accountable with our walk with God in that way. But there, we need to be okay with our placement. What about satisfaction in our purpose? Acts 11:23. Let's look at Acts 11:23, okay? Acts 11:23 says several things here. In Acts 11:23, it says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." There is a purpose in being satisfied in Christ. This purpose is our faith and our vocational callings. Do you have satisfaction serving God here at Crosspoint? And this is part of what my burden was earlier. If you're not in a ministry in Crosspoint, where are you going to get this fulfillment? It's not going to happen. You got to get plugged in. You got to get busy. We've had enough of seeing the church of God sit on their hands and not get busy at it. Those of you that are, don't stop. Don't stop. Now, don't get burned out either. It's a balance, isn't it? You can be so busy that all of a sudden, oh, I served God for 20 years. That was my time. No, there's no retirement in Jesus Christ. Amen. Until the trump sounds, until the bride of Christ is called away, we're to stay at the yoke. It might mean the yoke changes. It might be a different yoke in a different field. Amen. But we're to stay at the yoke. So there's the purpose of God. Are we thankful for the purpose we're fulfilling here at Cross Point Baptist Church? Are we thankful for the placement that God has us at Cross Point Baptist Church, either for a couple more months, 7 years, or until we meet the Lord in the air or in the ground when they put our shell at rest and we're already worshiping Jesus at his feet? How about this one? This is a unique one. Satisfaction in the pure fear of the Lord. Wow. That's not something we hear a lot, do we? The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge, right? The fear of the Lord is the foundation of so many parts of our faith. What is the fear of the Lord? It's not just a, oh, I'm scared of God. No, that's childish. It's more than that. It is a reverence in the Hebrew and in the Greek. It's a respect. It's an understanding that we have a perfectly holy, and yet, look at the dichotomy, a perfectly loving God. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Ah, we can rejoice about that. Remember when Pastor Dan was teaching on that during the exchange? That got so exciting. When we had all four parts of those exchange pieces come together, right? The pure fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 19. You got to look at this with me. Proverbs 19:23. Will you get there? We only have a few more minutes, my friends. I'm going to make it worth your while, I promise you. Look at this. Proverbs, you know it. Proverbs 19:23. Look at this. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Oh, well, I like life. Okay, then understand what the fear of the Lord is. And he that hath it, shall abide satisfied. Ooh, the Bible rhymes there. He shall not be visited with evil. Amen. If you abide in the satisfaction of the fear of the Lord, then we're going to be completed. We're going to be made whole. What about this? Are you finding satisfaction in peers? 1 Timothy 5 talks all about different peer relationships, right? Isn't that the chapter where it basically says, older women, this is your role in the church. Younger women, this is your role. Guys, follow it this way. Widows, half the chapter, isn't it, Pastor DeFoe, on different widowed situations and how do you handle these people? Are we finding our satisfaction in real relationships again with people? Here was another thought from Sunday school that I was just so blessed by. I hope it's okay if I share it in my overflow here. We focus on our relationships on what annoys us about a person, don't we? It's time we stop looking at the church at the thing we disagree with brother so-and-so or sister who-and-who about. And instead we say, I'm so thankful they serve in this way. Hey, did you hear how this person blessed me? Hey, did you hear how that person just served? It's time to stop running our mouth on the things we're frustrated with. Being in the yoke here at Cross Point, for so many different years, and not that it's all about me, but I'm busy enough and I'm doing enough things that at times when I go home, if I'm in my flesh, it's, why did this happen? Or why did this person think this? And I'm not even saying them, but I have the thoughts. No. That's flesh-led, isn't it? That's flesh-bent. We're past that. We're finding our satisfaction in the Spirit. And then finally, we know this, guys. Go back to the quotes from Jonathan Edwards and John Calvin. Our satisfaction has to be in Christ. Amen? Our satisfaction must be in the Lord. If we're finding our satisfaction in a thing, in a person, even in, wow, how much tonight have I talked about ministry? Did you get that yet? The context of that? We aren't going to find satisfaction in the carnal reasons we serve in church. That doesn't please Jehovah God. It is the true love of God. When you come to church to worship, do you think there's an audience of one? Can I challenge you with that? It's true. Now, is it exciting when I'm sitting near Brother Titus and I hear him lift up his voice in an a cappella hymn and I lift up my voice and we're singing loud and it's a joyful noise, brother, and it's kind of crazy and it's like, it's not blending well, but who cares? I'm singing. That is awesome. That's called corporate worship. But you know what ultimately we should be thinking? When Josh is singing his solo, don't worry about what Josh is doing. A pastor talks about this all the time, doesn't he? The point is, how does this relate to God? What is my heart doing to the Lord, Brother Ron? Am I really reaching out, Brother Tim, in praise to God through either my singing or me listening to someone sing? So I have some challenges for you. Let's apply some things, shall we? Okay. Biblical preaching. Let me get some liquid and I'll go. Y'all get this. I've used this analogy before, but it's good. Okay. Since my sophomore year of college, I keep a notebook on every single sermon that I try to be in. I tell my kids this all the time in class. Hey, you want to stay awake in chapel? Take notes. It may be your favorite speaker speaking in chapel. It may be your least favorite speaker speaking in chapel. It's your job to stay awake, and it's your job if you fall asleep. Am I right, Bryce? I mean, you got to fight sometimes. Are you not tired at times? I mean, dude, you're gonna get really tired as whether you're a high school or a college kid. Even here tonight, some of you are like, "Are you done yet?" Okay, I'm almost done. I promise. Hold on, just a moment longer, as Pastor says. But here's my point. What is my point? All right, I was getting it. seriously. All right. I was driving toward, yes, here it is. I was driving toward the idea of this. I really believe that sometimes in this church, we got so much food from Pastor Arrowood's era. Oh my goodness. If you think about how much that man preached and poured out his heart at us, it's mind-blowing. Some of you maybe have never heard Pastor Arrowood. We have some newer people. That's awesome. That means we're growing. Good. Awesome. But guess what? Whether it's him or our current pastor or even Pastor Defoe's dad that some of you remember preaching under, get this. We are spiritually obese if we're not applying it. I'm going to say it again. It's like calories, right? Good comes in, good should come out. But the fact is, in so many of our lives, good's coming in, good's coming in, good's coming in. And a little good is coming out. But it's not, again, we're satisfied, we're complacent. This is how we keep from being spiritually obese. It's by finding little ways. I challenge you to do this. Random chance. So this is before my main two challenges. At the end of every sermon, I want you to think about this. I don't care who's preaching, Pastor Dan, Pastor Blake, anybody, Pastor Shepherd, all of us, Pastor Floyd, think about this. Think about this. Think about what's one way I can actively apply something from this message to my life. Because can I be honest with you? If there's nothing you can take from that message into your life, you failed as a listener. They probably haven't failed as a teacher. You want to know why? Because it's the Word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. It's good. We've got to apply something in our life. So I'm just giving you some physical ways. This is not scripture, okay? I'm just applying scripture. Challenge one, give up something this week. This is a real challenge I'm giving to all of us, including myself. Ask me about this because I plan on doing it. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but we'll see. Give up something that steals your satisfaction from being rooted in Christ for 1 week. In other words, I'm kind of asking you to fast, not from food, but from something that steals your satisfaction in Christ. I have some ideas up here. Maybe for some of you, it's Disney Plus, it's Hulu. Maybe it's a news app on your phone. Maybe for me, it's Mountain Dew. You probably didn't know I like that. I love it, okay? What if we fasted for it and then we gave up that fake satisfaction, right? Now, okay, you know this. You know the replacement method, right? You can't just take out something. You got to do what if it's going to make a positive change? You got to replace it. You got to fill it with some good. Here's what we fill it with. Look at challenge number two. So you got to kind of do challenge number two with challenge one. Now let's memorize some verses in Christ, right? Let's find some fulfillment and satisfaction with some of these verses. I encourage you to write these down. Take a quick picture or ask me for them later. All of these have the word satisfied in it. Just look, who's the author of these? David. How is he a man after God's own heart? Right? We say it all the time. How does this man sin with Bathsheba? How is he a rotten father? How does he make all these mistakes and he's a man after God's own heart? Because he was satisfied in Christ. He was satisfied in his God. Psalm 17, Psalm 65, Psalm 22, Psalm 107, Psalm 105. Look these up. This is incredible. Guys on the screen, I hope you're getting a shot of this for live stream so they can see this. I hope so. It's amazing. Because our ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction must be on Christ. And David's heart, well, in fact, isn't there a psalm that says it? He says what? I don't know it right off the hand, but the Lord's bringing it to my head. My heart and my eyes are set on thee, O Father, David said. And that set means a full, solid, set my feet on the solid rock. I'm looking at Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we need. We need to take that challenge as our own. Well, I wanted to sing a song for you guys tonight. I'd like to do that. And it's a song that applies all of this. James Tilson, roughly about a little over 20 years ago, wrote the song, Lord, You're All I Need for the Wilds. It's an incredible song. If you know some of you especially, I think, will know the chorus. But if you want to sing, I want you to lift your voice up. More importantly than lifting your voice up, I would like you to follow the words. And I will have the words on here. I'm sorry it's a little small. To fit it all in, I had to kind of do it this way. So I'm going to sing it. I would like you to at least do this. I want you to listen to the words. I'm going to say the words, then I'm going to sing the words. and we'll get it all done. So hold on with me for just a couple more minutes. Can I read the words with you? Here it goes. Of times I've tried to live my life according to my will, right? Think about it. When darkness comes, it's difficult to rest. Just be still. But Lord, you are my shepherd who guides me in the way. And I will learn this glorious truth. If I, your word, obey, you're all I need. You're the Lord of everything. Yes, all I need. This is why I humbly sing. Your strength is sustaining and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's lone desire. You're all I need. I ask you to do two things. Either lift up your voice and sing it from your heart, or would you at least read the words as in your head as I sing them? Can we do that? Let's do that. Let me fight dry throatitis here, and I'll dive in. Please listen to these words and say them with me or sing them with me. Here we go. Oftimes I've tried to live my life according to my will. When darkness comes, it's difficult to rest and just be still. But Lord, you are my shepherd who guides me in the way. And I will learn this glorious truth if I or will obey. You're all I need. You're the Lord of everything. All I need. And this is why I humbly say, excuse me, your strength is sustaining and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's lone desire. You're all I need.